Let's get it started in here.
Coming to you live from the studios of AM 1400, KKZZ, Ventura County's Inspiration Station, this is the Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and more, bringing you value in every way, every day. Join Kim and her friends as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, featuring everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. You can join us and share your journey by giving us a phone call at 805-639-0008. And now, here's your host, Kim Pagano.
Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Yeah.
Lose control, a body and soul. Don't move too fast, people just take it slow. Don't get ahead.
All right, you have tuned in to the Kim Pagano Show. Welcome, 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 and another great day. We got action-packed info here on our show today. I've got Jeannie Michael from Valley Alarm, and
good morning.
How are you?
Cold.
Yeah, you know, it's been a little nippy out there, right?
It has.
Yeah, we got Matt on our board. Our phone number here is 805-639-0008. We've got Jill Kessler, and she's going to be talking about dogs, animals, right? I mean, really, that's kind of your passion, and that's what you've been doing, right?
Yes,
so
it is.
So we'll hear a little bit more about that. I've got my friend Sharon in here, and she's going to be standing in and watching what we're doing. And I hope that you're here joining us on starting your day in a positive way. And if this is the first time that you've tuned into our show, I want to let you know a little bit about it. We are a positive talk radio show. We're adding value every day in every way. And I bring you just different amazing guests from all over the world to talk about their journeys, to talk about their tips and tricks and things that they've already like journeyed through that can help your life be a little easier. And that's what it's all about, is really having your support team. And so I hope that you choose us as your support team here on the Kim Pagano Show. And again, if you are driving right now and you hear something that kind of resonates with you, a topic that you want to talk about, give us a call at 805-639-0008. Pull over so you're safe and that, we know that we're not worrying about you out there. But it was actually pretty light driving in here, so that was kind of cool. A little bit, right?
We just had a little slow. There was one accident, but I think it's clearing, so should be good.
Okay, there you go. And also, I want to let you know all the ways that you can get in touch with us here. You can stream us on my website at kimpaganoshow.com. Up in the right-hand corner, you can listen live right there. Also, I am almost at my goal for Facebook at Kim Pagano Show, and become a fan of ours. Like us, share us. That's our way of growing. Also, we are also on iTunes now. So just look up Kim Pagano Show on iTunes. And give me a rating. That's how we grow. And so share us. It's all free. That's where you can be doing your amazing exercises out there and listening to our show while you're, feeling better and, my motto in life is look good, feel good, do good. And so that's what it's all about. But today I want to let you know that I want to mention a couple of our partners here. And one is Ventura Breeze. And they are an amazing newspaper out in Ventura that lets you know everything that's happening out there. Also, Parent Click is another. Parent Click is an amazing website that lets all of the parents out there know what's going on out there. Also, Girl Talk, I'm connected with them, and Coffee News. There's just so many things that, if every restaurant that you're going at, you'll find a Coffee News there, and if not, ask for them.
It's great.
Yeah, it's really good. So he does our, Rob does our Tuesday trivia, and, but I always am giving away stuff. And today, I'd actually stay tuned because we're going to be giving away some more stuff. So, again, I want to give out our phone number here at 805-639-0008. So right now we're going to be talking to Jill Kessler, and she's a dog expert. Dog behaviors, training, aggression, bite incidents, just showing dogs. I mean, anything, right?
Pretty much everything.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking with her. Then we're going to be talking to Jason Cameron. And does your home have enough curb appeal? Right now it's spring, and it's eating the air. It just
I need
feels
to talk
like
to him.
flowers to me. And, yeah. Yep, but if you're on a budget, he's going to give us some amazing tips to help us do that. I just planted a bunch of fruit trees and citrus trees.
Ooh.
I'm so excited. Although that one little frost that we just had in the windstorm, my daughter's like, I think you lost them. We didn't.
Oh,
but,
no.
But anyways, and then we're going to be talking to Dr. Susan Swearer. And she's the leading expert to learn myths and dangers, to recognize warning signs, to get tips on best ways to support a victim that is being bullied. So so definitely what we're going to do right now is take a really quick break. And when we come back, join us. We'll be right. We'll be talking about all this great stuff. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim. And stay with us.
Grow your business with Ventura's only hometown newspaper, the Ventura Breeze, by reaching our highly targeted audience at affordable prices. Your ad will be read by thousands of local residents, business owners, and visitors. Our affordable rates start at just over $33 an issue, giving you an exceptional return for your advertising dollars. To be included in the next issue of the Ventura Breeze, contact us at advertising@venturabreeze.com.
Hi, it's Kim, and I want to share someone with you, my mechanic. With over 30 years of experience, you can be sure that your car will always be handled with the latest diagnostic equipment. Everything that needs to be done to your car will be explained in layman's terms.
Hi, I'm Jerry Schaffner, owner of JBS Auto Services. We specialize in gas, diesel, domestic, foreign, street rod, heavy-duty trucks, and motorhomes. Give us a call so we can take care of all your automotive problems. We are located right off the 118 in Simi Valley. Give us a call, 805-522-3923. Again, that number is 805-522-3923.
This is the Kim Pagano Show on AM 1400 KKZZ. Are you a fan of Kim on Facebook yet? If not, it's extremely easy. Simply go to Facebook.com/The Kim Pagano Show and press the like button. You can find all about what's coming up on upcoming shows, as well as be entered in special contests to win monthly prizes. It's all for free on Facebook at Facebook.com/The Kim Pagano Show. And now, once again, here's Kim.
$1 billion. The question is, who let the dogs out?
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
Who let the dogs out?
Hoot, 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 hoot.
All right. Well, you asked for it. We gave it to you.
They're out.
More dog music. And I love that. Thanks, Matt. All right. So, Jill, tell us. This is such a, you know what my listeners love. I love my animals. I'm really passionate about my animals. And I know a lot of other people out there are. And so tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're so passionate about it.
Well, you know, about 60% of the American public owns a dog. So dogs are everywhere, and many households have over one dog, over the number of one dog. My name is Jill Kessler, and I am what's called a dog expert, and I know that sounds a little highfalutin, but I really am.
And what makes you a dog expert?
Tell us.
I actually, my primary work now is as an expert witness in lawsuits. So anything having to do with dogs, they call me up, I review it, and I tell them what's either really happened or what's going on, and talk about that. I've been a trainer since about 1989. I've titled dogs in confirmation and Schutzhund, which is police dog work, and agility and obedience. And I'm very, very interested in aggression, which is just, it's a fascinating subject. Behavior, etiology, it all just, I just,
okay,
floats my boat.
So let's start right there. What kind of dog? Do you have a Rottweiler?
My breed of 25 years is the Rottweiler.
Okay, I saw that.
Yeah, lots of those. And I still have one at home who's an older male. And then I co-own a couple of show dogs with some friends of mine because I really like to show. I've been doing Rottweiler rescue for 23 years. So I'm very pro-spay and neuter, as I'm sure you can imagine. And I actually do have a rule, which is you can have breeding dogs or you can have pet dogs, but you cannot have both. If you have children in the house, you must spay and neuter.
And why do you say that?
Well, unneutered males have three times the rate of aggression. And when you see these bite cases and you see these fatalities in the news, I guarantee you, as sure as I'm sitting here, you're looking at unneutered males, usually with intact females that are either in heat or pregnant.
Wow. I guess that would make sense.
Of course. Right. Hormonal influence.
So do you advise
those
people
hormones
as
get
well?
In way no matter what we're doing, I'm telling you, right?
Right.
So do you advise people as well? Can they call you for some
advice? Oh, yes,
advice?
Of course. I'm also presenter for several organizations, and one of them is for Dogs and Storks, which is a bite prevention organization that we work
what
with
is
families.
It, Dogs and Storks?
It's called Dogs and Storks. You can actually find it at familypaws.com.
Wow. And what is that organization?
Well, it's to really help parents and mothers incorporate their children and their dogs in a safe and loving manner. Dogs are not necessarily or inherently dangerous. Actually, if anything, I think the babies are more dangerous than the dogs. Because I'm joking.
Wait a minute.
Right, but I got your attention, right?
Yes.
But the problem is really that people have unfair expectations of their pets.
Yes.
And that starts usually even during the pregnancy. And there's so many things that you can do to help the dog accept and understand what's going on and become accustomed to what will be a new routine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the biggest error that people make. But even once the baby comes, there's just a lot of safety protocols that really must be followed for everyone's safety,
sure.
including the dogs, actually. If you put your dog in a situation where it has to make a bad decision,
yeah.
your dog is going to pay with its life.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. And, you know, I have a situation, and I'm glad that you're on here because I really want to address this.
All
and
right.
I'm sure other people have the same situation. And I just want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. I'm so glad that you are starting your day here in a positive way. And I am your host, Kim. I'm here with Jeannie Michael. I've got Jill Kessler on. We're talking about animals. She is a dog expert. And I've got my friend Sharon on. And I've got Matt on the board. And you are welcome to call up and ask any questions at 805-639-0008. So I have a black lab, and I have a little a chihuahua, both rescue dogs. And I really recommend people to help these dogs all over the world. That's another whole topic, right? Right there.
That is a other hour or more.
Yeah, so we'll have to have you back on that. But my daughter rescued another dog, which is a pit bull.
Mm-hmm.
Sweetest dog. They definitely have a bad rap for, you know, being mean and all that. But they're both females. My black lab and the pit bull. Sweetest dogs. Well, somehow they were, this is kind of the second time that it's happened, but, you know, we've been paying vet bills.
Mm-hmm.
But they both, I guess they both,
they fight.
Well, no, they didn't. I mean, I guess they're both dominating of, you know, our couch or whatever, but a squirrel was running in our backyard and they both chased it. The squirrel, of course, went under the car and they, you know, they attacked each other. My pit bull, cut off my black lab's ear. You know, luckily we were able to save it, but so we can't bring them back together, correct?
No, you cannot.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things you need to realize. First of all, the whole idea that all dogs can and will get along is a complete fallacy. It looks great on TV. It's not true. That's just the bottom line. Labs in general tend to be dog friendly, and I say tend to be because there is no absolute.
Yeah,
right.
But,
right.
Yeah.
But the pit bull, which is a breed that I absolutely adore, love them to pieces. However, they were bred for animal aggression.
That's just what I was going to say. They are
right.
bred for
that. And that's not to say all pit bulls are like that, but I'm just talking about a general tendency.
Well, because they're bred that way. I mean,
they were bred that way. We were bred, the bull terrier in general, what we call the bully breeds, were bred for hundreds of years for animal aggression.
Mm-hmm.
And that included for rat
terriers.
So when terriers.
You say animal aggression, what does that mean?
That means any kind of animal. That could be a rat, it could be rabbits, it could be cattle, it could be dog fighting. After the bull terrier in general was used for ratting, And then they actually were started to be used because you have to realize in medieval England, entertainment was fighting. Now, that could have been bear baiting, bull baiting, which is what the pit bull did.
Hunting, right?
Could have been some hunting. But they did do a lot of animal fighting. I'm not condoning it. I think it's horrible. However, this is just the truth. What has been retained in the breed, though, is animal aggression, which has nothing to do with people aggression, by the way. Two completely separate worlds.
Right.
The pit bull was never, ever bred for people aggression. And when you have a pity with people aggression, you've got a problem and it needs to be euthanized. It's an aberrant behavior.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So, however, expecting her to get along with another dog may be unreasonable. However, expecting her to get along with another dog of the same sex is not going to happen.
Really?
Many,
I never knew that.
Right, many breeds are what we call same-sex aggressive. The Rottweiler, the German Shepherd, just about all your working breeds and all your terriers. If you want a dog that will generally get along with dogs of the same sex, you need to look at dogs that were bred to be in groups, such as your hunting dogs, like your lab.
Okay.
Wow, that's great advice. Now, I have another question since Kim brought it up, and I think it's a good idea, too, to adopt dogs because they need to be rescued. A lot of people, they're great dogs, even mutts.
Yes.
So what if, do you advise them on that? Like our situation wasn't, it's not a big deal. We went through it, but I think a lot of people have this where their dogs that they adopt have been abused. Can you help those type of dogs?
Well, believe it or not, it's actually, most dogs have not been abused. Most dogs just have either poor genetics or they've had poor environment.
No, I mean, ours was. We knew it. They used to beat it with a flashlight and throw it in the garage. They were, it was the culture where they came from. They felt dogs, you know, belonged outside. And,
right.
You know, and we knew that for a fact.
Okay.
So when you know something like that, can you help those people?
You can.
Or?
You can. The people or the dogs?
Well, actually, the people know how
people
to
help
the dog so that they feel comfortable.
Like, those people should go to jail.
I know.
That's animal
Not
cruelty.
Those people. The people like us who adopted them.
No,
it was
no.
really
the
hard at
who
that
beat
time.
Their dog. People who beat their dogs, fight their dogs, right. abuse their animals, they need to go to jail.
Yeah. I guess my question is, I'm the one that adopted it. We
yes.
had to do it on our own, but however, you're here now, so can you advise so that we wouldn't have to go through trial and error?
There's a couple of things. One of them is that in an ideal world, the dog has good, resilient temperament, and that's just the way they're born, just like people. I mean, there are people in this world that go through horrific things, and they overcome, and they rise above, and they're fine. It's amazing. And then there's a lot of people who actually kind of had no problems, and they still don't do so well. So we have to look for good genetics and resiliency.
Sure.
Of course, we have to make her environment safe. That's the first and foremost. And then I would only advise using like treat training for a dog like that and then do confidence building, for instance, through the treat training, trick training, and agility training. As her confidence comes up, she'll be more secure in her environment and it all starts feeding into each other and you have to give it time.
That's kind of what we did, but God, it was hard. We had to learn it on our own. And we knew to be gentle because the poor thing was scared to death. You know?
The downside of sometimes, though, is we end up reinforcing their fear because we're trying to console them, which might work for people, but it doesn't work for dogs.
Sure. That makes sense. Thank you.
Now, what about training a dog when you first get it? I mean, you know, and there's so many things we need to talk about. I mean, really, this is such an amazing topic. But, you know, if you're adopting a dog and you have kids and you have a family, I would love you to kind of go through some of the best dogs that you would recommend.
Sure. Believe it or not, there is no breed that is better with dogs than another. Every breed of dog was bred to be good with children because when you think about it, hundreds of years ago, if you had a dog that wasn't good with kids, you killed it. You didn't keep it, that's for sure. It had to be able to work and it had to be able to love your family. So contrary to what people will tell you, there really is no breed that's better than another. There might be some that are a little more tolerant, but all in all, they should all be good with children. I think it's actually more important to make sure that your children are good with dogs.
Mm.
Too many parents think that it's okay for their children to torture dogs.
Right on their back.
Pull their
not
hair.
Okay.
Not okay. I definitely agree.
Teasing with food, not okay. Throwing things, not okay. Putting a pencil in the ears, the eyes, not okay. That they have to respect the dog. And as much as I talk about dog-free zones, for instance, when a mother has a new baby, I also talk about kid-free zones for the dog. That the dog has a safe place to retire to for sleeping or chewing and things like that. For instance, one of the things parents think is that a child should be able to go up and take something from the dog. But they wouldn't have allowed the dog to go take something from the child, would they?
Wow. So there should be a class when our kids are younger and you get a dog, you should almost have to go through a class to learn how to...
Do they offer that? Do you?
Well, through Dogs and Storks, we do offer a lot of safety training. There's also another very good site called Dog Gone Safe, just like it sounds, doggonesafe.com. That is a bite prevention website that has a lot of the same information there. But when people come out to adopt a dog, I look at how their children are. Are their children kind? Are they respectful? Are they under control?
Great.
Children are out of control, we're not going to place with them because we know that supervision is lacking, boundaries are lacking, rules are lacking. If they can't have rules there, then they're not going to have rules not only in behaviors towards the dog, but the behaviors of the actual dog as well. And no bite comes from out of the blue.
Wow.
There's always red flags, and people just ignore it, don't see it, don't want to know.
Yeah, right. Agree. There you go. Well, Jill, you know what? We actually have Jason on the line, and Jason is going to be talking about, you know, here's kind of another topic, is a lot of times we have our dogs, and sometimes they don't do so well in our backyards, right, and they might ruin our landscaping. And so that's a whole nother topic right there. There's so many things that we can lead into. So we're going to come back to you. But right now, we have Jason Cameron. And Jason, you've been on my show before. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? Good to be back.
Good to be back, too. Thank you.
I recognize that voice.
That's right. Yeah. So
I have one of those voices, I guess.
So we're talking about curb appeal. Right on a budget. What a perfect thing and a perfect time for spring right now. I just planted a bunch of fruit trees. I don't know if you were listening. And, you know, and just flowers. Everything makes it's just such a grounding thing that you can do to go out and work in your yard.
I couldn't agree more. In fact, surprise, spring is here. You know, it's time to think about our landscapes. And it's interesting with the dogs because we deal a lot with that. We have dealt with that on Desperate Landscapes. In terms of, because I'm a huge dog person. I love my dog. We do everything together. But they can wreak havoc on your grass.
Yeah.
So. You know, and I love Desperate Landscaping.
Yeah. There's a lot of Desperate Landscapes out there, so it'll be pretty busy.
Does that mean because, you're going to teach us some, tips on keeping within our budget?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
There you go.
I can't do what I do every day throughout this country, curing Desperate Landscapes, without a plan and a budget. I, too, am on a budget, so I take that very seriously. But the plan is essential, and I recommend to your listeners that they look at their landscape as if looking at it for the first time. I know that sounds funny, but what you need to do is get rid of everything. You need to
you
clear
mean
it
start
out.
All over?
Yeah, well,
wait a minute. I like my rosemary.
Well, no, I'm saying get rid of the things that you don't like. Just clear out everything that you don't like and everything that is cumbersome or in the way, and leave the things that are, so you can then get a clear understanding of what you're dealing with. Because if there's too much stuff,
clutter.
Exactly. I was going to say, that sounds like good advice for life.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, seriously.
For your house, that extra room.
That's a whole other topic. But yeah,
In-laws?
No, you know what? You're absolutely right. I call it, kind of sweeping our mind. And you know what I've been doing is, even with my home, like you were just saying, Jill, is walking into each room and really picking out the things I love. And everything else, I could kind of, get rid of.
Yeah, it's a good way to cleanse, and it's also a good way to set up your creativity for what you want in your landscape. And what I recommend is looking around your neighborhood and finding things that you like about each landscape, because there are usually some really nice ones nearby. Take those pictures, sit down on a piece of paper, draw out your property. You don't have to be an artist, just simple lines with some dimensions, the front of the house, the hardscapes like sidewalks, and then start planning it out. Start really looking, visualizing what will work well to really transform your landscape, and then you're ready to then go to the nursery and start formulating a plan. The other thing is, to save money, you might want to think about going to a local recycling center, because what happens is a lot of these places receive things from people that are, either transforming their own, and they get rid of stuff, so you can get doors that have been recycled that are almost like brand new, landscaping materials like pavers, old bricks that you can use. So there's a lot of things that you can find at a recycling center for half the price than a big box store. And if you do it yourself, you're saving a ton of money there as well.
Oh, that's a really good idea.
I love what you said about drawing out and getting ideas, because that works in a lot of things in crafts. If you, like jewelry, you get ideas you see in a magazine, you cut it out, and then you kind of think about it. Because I think so many people make the mistake, and I'm one of them. Spring is here, so you go to the local store, and you get all the flowers you love, and then you go home, and you never plant them because you're not sure what to do. And where do they go?
That's the thing, because everybody can get lost in that. It can be overwhelming, so I think by taking your time and planning it out, because what you don't want to do is go to the local nursery and buy a bunch of plants that aren't going to grow in your and your landscape.
That's another thing. You have to ask about that, right? When you go to a good nursery and you find out what plants do grow and what kind of animals, like, say, deer might be in your area, and you don't want to put stuff there that they will eat, and how would you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, a local nursery, because, you know, depending on what zone you're in, a local nursery can really explain to you what will work well, not only to keep the pests away, but also low maintenance, because most of us, let's face it, don't have the time to dedicate to our landscape. So we want low maintenance stuff, and we do that a lot on the show. We choose low maintenance plants like certain evergreens that are going to give you color year round, but also be very easy to maintain.
Yeah, and you know what? I think, I mean, that kind of goes back to our life again, low maintenance and everything. Even when I buy clothes, I'm like, how does this have to be washed? How do I have to take care of this, you know? And you know, I think it's the most amazing thing is to buy, right now, I've kind of switched my whole garden over to anything that works for me.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want food from it. I want, you know, tomatoes. So I want it all to have something that I can take off of it.
Right, you can have all that. It's just a matter of planning it out. Where do you want it to be?
Right.
That's important. And usually I tell people, if you're going to go, you know, with your foundation plants, you want those to be substantial, and then you want to work down from there. So you're actually layering out. So you're starting closer to the house with the big stuff, and then slowly, gradually going down as you get further to the closer to the street. So your eyes drawn in to your house. So
okay.
That's another visual trick. But I just want to mention real quick, one of the tricks that we've used a lot on the show recently is synthetic turf, and getting back to the whole dog.
Oh, you know what? I wanted that so bad in my backyard, but isn't that really, really expensive?
Well, it depends on the size you're talking about. If it's a really large area, then yeah, you might want to condense it down to just a small area where your dog can be. Because the great thing about synthetic turf is the obvious thing is you don't have to water it.
So correct. So you're green right there.
You have green year round, and this isn't your grandpa's synthetic turf anymore. This stuff really looks real. And the great benefit to dogs is that, first of all, it's a barrier against ticks because they don't like.
Oh, that's a great point.
So it keeps them away. They can't hurt it. They can go to the bathroom all day long on it. It's just going to drain. It actually drains better than natural grass, to be honest. So there's a lot of perks to using.
Well, Jason, does it get hot?
It does. It does get hot, but there are new turfs out now that are specifically made for canines.
So what is? Would you give us a name that you would recommend?
Well, I've worked a lot with, you know, we work with different companies. One in particular that I've worked with is Metro Grass, which is another one is Synlawn, another one is Canine Grass. If you just Google, you'll find a ton of things that come up that have specifically catered to, whether it's dogs or whatever it is you're trying to do. The residential lines now are very appealing.
Okay, I have a question on that because I've wanted to put it in our front lawn for a long time, but we have gopher problems.
Can they dig through that?
Yeah, what do we do?
It would be very difficult to dig through it, but that is something you would probably want to take care of because
they
will do their best to get through
it. Yeah, I can't. We live in the country, so it's open, and that's what I'm saying. I thought it might be out for us because if they dig a hole, you're going to be walking in a hole.
That's true.
All you have to do is get a terrier, a small one like a dachshund.
Oh, and that will take care of it?
Yeah. Getting back to dogs. There you go.
Oh, there you go. We've got all the answers
here. The rattlesnakes there.
Hey, Jason, I wanted to tell you, in case you ever have a client that has a dog or two, a couple of dogs that do a lot of digging, one of the things that works really well is to put in a digging area in the yard specifically for the dogs to dig in. And you can just good old sand is great, or sand mixed with dirt, and then the people can even hide some chew things or toys out there. If they don't want to dedicate part of their yard, they can also just use a kiddie swimming pool and fill it up with dirt and sand.
Yeah, that's a great idea because, again, you'll get your dog used to going to his area.
Exactly.
His area and save the rest of the landscapes. That's a great idea.
It works really well. And the Rottweiler I have now, when I adopted him at 2.5, he was given up because he was a digger, which I was like, how bad could it be? Let me tell you, the first year I had him, he dug up a cypress tree, a 20-year-old bougainvillea, half of a rubber plant, and half of my sprinkler system.
He's the cause of a lot of those desperate landscapes.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, I did that. I actually gave him about the back corner of about a fourth of my yard, and I just let him dig to his heart's content.
Yep.
And as he became settled and calmer and more confident with obedience and exercise, the digging did go away. But I find having a designated area for the dog really helps.
Yeah, no, that's a great idea. It really is, because it'll really designate an area for the dog. And And hopefully the dog then becomes used to that and stays out of the rest of the landscape.
Some dogs do dig more than others, like your Nordic breeds, like Huskies and Malamutes.
Right, some do.
You know, I just want to remind anybody that's just tuning in right now, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, and we're talking to Jason Cameron. And Jason, tell us where your show is and a little bit about, you are the host of DIY, right, Network?
Yes, the DIY Network, and I host the show called Desperate Landscapes. And that's what we do. We go across the country and we cure these landscapes. We get, you know, the neighbors are complaining about that one in particular. Everybody's seen it, you know, that one desperate landscape. So we go in and completely transform it. And it makes a big difference, not only in the quality of the house, but in the quality of the neighborhood. It lifts everybody's
sure.
Value up. But I think what's really cool is right now we're getting ready for the fifth annual America's Search for the Most Desperate Landscape. This is the fifth time we've done it. I'm really excited about it. It's an opportunity for your listeners to go to DIYnetwork.com, submit videos and pictures of their desperate landscape. I want to see how desperate they really are.
Can you do, is it only front yards or just only front yards?
We handle front yards, yeah.
Okay.
I've got one to turn in.
You do?
Oh, my goodness. Okay. That yard for over 20 years. It looks like it should be on American Pickers or Hoarders or whatever those shows. It's so bad.
Not that bad.
It's got two broken down cars in the driveway, the dead grass and some dead weeds.
Oh, my
God. It's horrible.
Now,
in the Palisades.
There you go. Oh, there you go. See?
What about hillsides? You know, a lot of people have those hillsides in their front. Have you got any advice for that? Because that's always hard.
I'm sorry, for what?
Hillsides. You know, they'll have the high up and then they have a hillside that faces the actual street. And those are really hard to come up with something that, you know, you can't weed them. It's too hard. So what do you advise?
Let me just get back to something that was said earlier in terms of the search. This is one search where ugly wins. So your landscape, the better your chance.
I like that. I like that.
But anyway, the hillside, though, is interesting because I see this a lot across the country. People, especially for lawns, it's really hard to mow an area like that, especially depending on how steep the hillside is. So what I recommend is using low ground cover, like certain grasses and certain ivies that are non-invasive, that will give you really good ground cover, will help erosion, but it's very low maintenance because a lot of times you find people trying to mow on a steep incline.
Right.
Not only is it unsafe, but it's hard to do. So,
and even putting flowers, it's hard to get up there and weed around it.
Exactly. So. Even putting flowers. But something that's low maintenance and low growing will give you a nice ground cover, and you can mulch around it and then never really have to worry about it.
Okay. Jason, how do you like ice plants?
I'm sorry?
How do you like ice plants?
Ice plants. I'm not as familiar with ice plants.
You know what my question is a lot of people have plants that they plant in their backyard, but they don't know that they're poisonous, or maybe they attract bees, or for their, you know, I mean, so it could hurt their dogs, it could hurt their kids. What are some of the things that we should not plant?
Well, that's a long list. I mean, there's a lot of things out there, certain ivies that you want to steer clear of, certain poison ivies. So I would suggest definitely researching that. Going to your local nursery, depending on where you are in the country, is a great resource to, you know, to tell you what plants not only will work well in your landscape, which ones are non-invasive and which ones are non-poisonous. Because especially if you have kids and dogs, you don't want them, you know, messing with any of those plants that might do them harm.
Since kids and dogs both like to eat things that they're not supposed to, it's probably a good idea to take a look. I do know that there is a list of poisonous plants at ASPCA.org, and that's a really good resource.
All right.
Yeah.
So, Jason, what are the biggest mistakes homeowners make when tackling their landscaping?
Oh, wow. Where do I begin? Let me start with one of the biggest mistakes I typically see, and that is first, let me preface this by saying I'm a big fan of mature trees. We use them all the time. We bring them in. It does a great job to give you curb appeal, and it brings your house down to size. But you have to be very careful. The mistake I see is people placing it in the wrong spot. What you have to remember is that tree, no matter what it is, it's a maple, an oak, whatever it is, will obviously grow to become a lot bigger. So the size it is now is deceiving, because that root ball will eventually become as large, if not larger, than the canopy. So if you place it too close to your house or your sidewalk, it could do damage to the foundation. So that's really important.
That is a big thing. And now, you know, I just planted a bunch of fruit and citrus trees, right? What size would you recommend? You know, it's funny because we thought it was like instant gratitude, and 15 gallons was like not instant gratitude. What's your thought on that?
Well, certain fruit plants or trees are nice and they're attractive, and they will obviously produce fruit for you to consume. But you want to make, again, it's about placement. You don't want to place it near a driveway because you're going to have a constant battle trying to keep your driveway clean when the fruit drops or when the, the tree sheds.
And you have to prune them, too, right?
Of course. You have to stay up on the pruning. It's very healthy for the plant. It keeps it very stable. So that's all very important, pruning and trimming. Those are one other mistake that I see a lot, which is really important. I think people need to understand their soil conditions and their sun situation, because what I see a lot of people waste a lot of money on plants that won't do well in their landscape. So, it's about a basic understanding of your soil conditions. Do you have clay? Do you have sand? You have caliche. What is it that you have?
So, Jason, what if you do have clay? What are you going to do? Like, take it all out and bring it all in? Or do you just have to,
add stuff to it?
Right. You just top it?
Amendment? Yeah, well, there's a couple. Topping it is an option. But you want to, again, it's about researching things that will do well in that environment, just like a desert environment, just like an ocean environment. There are certain plants that will do well in that kind of environment.
Great. You always bring us in amazing tips. And so how do my listeners enter the most desperate landscaping contest?
Good.
Well, they can go to DIYnetwork.com, and this is, like I said, the fifth annual search for America's Most Desperate Landscape. So basically, one of your listeners, if they go and they submit a picture and video of their desperate landscape, could be the recipient of a $25,000 front yard makeover, which is huge. And
nice.
I end up showing up in their front yard with my crew for a landscape invasion to take theirs from worst to first. So you got nothing to lose, everything to gain. You've got till April 30th. DIYnetwork.com and submit. And this will be a one-hour special that'll air July 18th at 9 o'clock.
Okay, it's kind of like a definite makeover, another one, right?
I love it.
Yeah. And now tell us when your show's on.
The show is on the premiere, the new season, the night season, will premiere next Wednesday at 9 p.m. and every Wednesday thereafter. So make sure you tune in and check me out. We always try to really incorporate tips for people to take away. It's about empowering people and giving them something to take away from the show.
Right. And Jason, you're local, aren't you? Where are you?
I'm actually in New York.
Oh, you're not so loco.
No, yeah.
Not so loco. Okay.
Great city, though.
Okay,
love New York.
There
Great
you go.
State.
And now, so do you do a lot of gardening out in New York?
I do. It's a little different.
Yeah, I was going to say.
The urban areas are a little different, so we do urban planting.
Did you used to live out here?
I've been out there many times and never lived out there.
I do
love Los Angeles, so I go out there as much as I can.
Okay, well, anytime you want to come out here and do gardening, you're welcome at my home.
All right, I'll put you down on the list.
Okay, there you go. All right, thank you so much, Jason, and we'll have to have you back and give us some tips and give us, an update on what happened.
All right, I appreciate it. Thanks.
Bye-bye. You got it. All right, that was Jason Cameron, and we were talking about your curb appeal. So being a desperate landscaper, are you guys desperate landscapers? Do you guys like to landscape?
Oh, I like it, but we have so many rattlesnakes, and we're kind of in the open country, so I really miss it severely. I do.
Yeah.
It was very therapeutic for me. I've gone out there and just closed my eyes and, had a big stick and make a lot of noise and just start pulling, and it always looks so pretty, but I only had enough nerve to do it once because my neighbor got bit by one. I thought, oh, okay, I'm done.
My husband's got bit by one.
I know.
Yeah,
I
yeah,
know.
So... But you know what? I mean, you just have to really be careful. And
make a lot of noise.
Yeah. And just, wear gloves. There's things that you can do to protect it, right?
For people, I have no idea. For dogs, I know.
Uh-oh.
For dogs, actually, there are things called rattlesnake clinics. And there actually is a woman who does them in, Camarillo, Ventura area, where basically it is done on a shock collar.
It's actually my neighbor.
Right. Oh, is it? No kidding. Yeah.
What does she do?
It's on a shock collar, and when the dog approaches the snake, it receives the highest level shock so that you create a negative association so that the next time the dog sees the snake, it goes, oh, no, I am not getting near
so
that.
So it senses any snake then?
Well, when they see it, so that they don't go to it to investigate it, which is normal dog behavior.
And there's also shots that they can...
There is a vaccine, but that doesn't mean that you cannot take the dog to the vet. It just buys you a little bit more time to get there. And you better be hopeful that your dog carries the antivenom. If you're in a rattlesnake area, most veterinarians do. However, it's about $1,000 a vial.
Yeah,
so
you
it's
don't
not
want to
a
go
cheap
there.
Fix. Right, yeah. Right. So that's why I do recommend if people live in snake areas to go ahead and do the rattlesnake clinic.
Can a human
yeah,
wear
I'll
that?
Have to get her on here, actually. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
All right, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, and stay with us. We're going to actually be talking to Dr. Susan Swearer, and she's the leading expert on bullying at school. And so we're just popping all over this topics today. So stay with us. If you have a question, give us a call here at 805-639-0008. And what I'd love to do is give away a gift certificate to IHOP out here in Ventura. And all I have to do is, if you can remember what Jill's dog is, what kind of dog, if you were listening, right?
I got two breeds.
Oh, we talked about the one.
We talked about one, yeah. Yes. But see if they, oh, that, I didn't talk about the other one.
No, you
yeah.
didn't. See, right. So there you go. But anyways, our phone number here is 805-639-0008, and I'll give you one hint. It begins with an R. We'll be right back, and.
I know.
Don't go out. There you go. We'll be right back. 805-639-0008.
Love is only true in fairy tales, and for someone else, but not for me.
Hi, I'm Andrea with Hometown Insurance Services. Allied Insurance is a member of Nationwide Insurance Family. Allied will discount your premiums up to 23% if we insure both your home and auto together. Allied also offers many occupational discounts. Please call Hometown Insurance today for a free, no pressure, no obligation quote. Call us at 850-0380 or stop by our office at 4517 Market Street, Suite 1B in Ventura.
We can't change where our economy is today, but we can make sense of our future. Retirement will be around the corner, whether you're planning for it or not. And let's face it, most people have not. Let Hannah and David help you strategize and get focused on your future. They'll show you ways to help you reduce debt, start saving money, earn higher rates of returns, help you save toward the cost of college, and protect your family and real estate using the suitable forms of life insurance. Call Hannah and David for a no-obligation consultation. Hannah and David have been helping families and business owners in Southern California since 1999 with a great proven track record. Call them in their new Westlake office. You can reach Hannah and David at 818-402-9396. Give them a call. Today can be the first day of the rest of your life.
You're listening to the Kim Pagano Show on AM 1400 KKZZ. Remember to visit the show's official website at www.thekimpaganoshow.com. You can podcast prior programs as well as check out articles and other tidbits from previous interviewees. It's all at the official website of The Kim Pagano Show, www.thekimpaganoshow.com. And now, once again, here's Kim.
All right. We had a couple questions. And, Matt, what was that one question?
I have a Border Terrier, and I know it's kind of cliche out of cartoons of what you see on television, but my dog hates the mailman.
Yeah, it's just about every dog does. You should see my Rottweiler.
Okay.
I have a glass panel next to our front door, and he jumps. He's got hops about 6 feet straight up in the air, and he puts on a show 6 days a week that really is worth the admission. But here's what happens for dogs. 6 days a week, mailman comes, mailman leaves. Mailman comes, dog goes, rrr. Mailman leaves, dog goes, I scared him off, I'm a big guy. Next day, mailman comes, dog goes, rah. Mailman leaves, dog goes, did you see that? I am so frickin' tough. Next day, mailman comes, dog goes, wah, wah, wah. Mailman leaves. Now he's like, I own that guy. I am all over it. And this happens 6 days a week. What you have to remember about dogs is they only do what works, right? So this works for them. And so for them, it just becomes a behavior that gets bigger and bigger. It's also self-reinforcing. They enjoy it. They like it.
That's kind of how bullies think.
Wow. It is how bullies. In fact, that's what we're going to be talking about
right now. It's totally bullying behavior.
We have Dr. Susan Swearer on. And Susan, are you there?
I am here.
Welcome. We're talking about dogs, but really it leads into kind of our bullying of the pattern, right, of how people and children feel like they can take advantage of other people.
Well, and if those behaviors are reinforced, you know, so we know that kids who bully other kids often have, you know, peers who are observing or in some cases joining in as well. And so, you know, if those behaviors are reinforced, then kids are more likely to engage in those behaviors. And so, you know, at education.com, we're really trying to break that cycle.
And you say that one in every three children are directly involved, correct?
Well, when we look at the research kind of across the board, you know, what we're saying is that one out of three kids have some involvement in bullying during their school years, whether as a bully, a victim, a bully victim, or, you know, as a bystander, kids who observe bullying. So that bullying really does impact many of our school-age children's lives.
And what is, to your knowledge, since this is your expertise, why would somebody be bullying another kid? Is it something that they've learned at home, or is it something that they're unhappy within themselves and they're just projecting it to others?
Yeah, you know, that's a really great question. And actually, I would say yes, you know, to both of your hypotheses that, you know, it's very complicated. I mean, some kids learn these behaviors in the home. Some kids are in peer groups where, you know, these, you know, if you bully other kids, you're popular, you're kind of in the in crowd. And some of these kids are also pretty insecure. And, you know, they're mean to other kids to kind of feel better about themselves. And so the reality is that the reasons why kids bully are very complex. And then so should our solutions for bullying. And again, that's what we're trying to do at education.com is really educate the public, you know, parents and kids and, you know, teachers about the complexity of bullying, and then really to try to give parents and educators some concrete steps about what they can do.
You know, also we have problems with schools today, too. They can't, sometimes they'll just turn a blind eye because, you know, so many of them in public schools, especially, they get sued if they say the right or wrong thing. And I think that's really important to look at maybe your website. They can get some advice also.
Well, exactly. And I think, you know, there are lots of stresses that are facing schools. And one of the, you know, the suggestions that we have at education.com is that parents really need to work together with school personnel, you know, with school mental health professionals, and not work against the school. And we know that when, you know, parents and you know, schools are in conflict, that that really actually serves to, you know, continue, you know, some of these negative behaviors.
You know, Susan, I know a lot of kids that if they are being bullied, they don't want to go tell on anybody because they're going to continue to get worse bullied, right? What do they do when they go in and they actually tell somebody? Are they, you know, I mean, is it known that they were the one that went in and told?
Well, you know, we really suggest to kids to identify trusted adults within the school or within their communities that they can talk to, you know, confidentially. A lot of times kids just want to kind of vent and, you know, kind of have somebody listen to them. And so, you know, our first advice is that we want kids to talk. You know, we want kids to share. And whether that's with, you know, a mental health professional, a school psychologist, a trusted adult, a pastor, a youth leader, you know, youth themselves, their friends, you know, we don't want kids to feel alone and isolated. And so they really need to reach out. And then the question is reaching out to whom? And certainly people that they trust is an important message to send to youth.
You know, one of our schools out here that I'm really close with, they got all the girls together separately than the guys and talked to all of them and, you know, and tried to kind of ease it and teach them. Sometimes they're not taught at home that it's okay to be, you know,
well,
I mean, we're
sure.
taught competition instead of just, you know, support.
Right.
And I think that's something that we need in our schools. And I just trying to think of how I can really get that out there to help kids, because to me, that's where it starts when you're young and when you were lost in high school. And then all of a sudden we have all this competition and all these mean, you know, kids kind of, you know, not giving you any support.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think it really starts. I mean, you see all these shootings everywhere,
uh-huh.
you know, that's just, it's something that I think that if we're looking for that, it could be saved. And I don't know.
Well, and schools, too, need to take a
initiative.
Yes, because I know we put our son in a school, and it was taught to the children that it's not cool to be a bully. I mean, they just really enforced that, and they actually had seniors be kind and actually pick a friend that was a freshman. And they're right there reinforced. You know, it's not a good thing to be picking on. It wasn't tolerated. And nobody did it. And, you know, so they had enforced that for so many years. It was just a whole different atmosphere.
Yeah.
I think you guys are right on. I mean, education and really teaching kids skills is key. And when, you know, schools and parents do that, then we see exactly the scenario that you're talking about. You know, that bullying is less likely to occur in those kinds of schools.
Mm-hmm.
So at education.com, we're really trying to be the go-to resource to help educators and parents, you know, kind of like you laid out some of those steps of teaching kids. And so we have a lot of free resources that we're hoping will really help, you know, turn this tide around.
Mm-hmm. Susan, what are some of the warning signs that that a parent can look for?
You know, parents, on education.com, we have a list of warning signs that parents can look for if they think their child might be being bullied. So things like, you know, increased anxiety, they might be withdrawn, somatic complaints, headaches, stomach aches, not wanting to go to school, maybe their schoolwork is suffering, as well as we have warning signs for parents to look for if their kids might be doing the bullying, such as increased aggression, increased levels of anger, maybe school reports that their child is involved in bullying. Their child may come home with possessions that aren't theirs. And so things like that parents can really look for to become involved in part of the conversation and part of the solution.
Now, what about cyberbullying? I mean, our internet is such a huge part of all of our lives and our children's lives. That's a big one.
You know, it really is. And again, we say, you know, it's the same behavior. I mean, it's bullying behavior. It's just instead of verbal or physical, it's, you know, written over, you know, a technological medium such as, you know, the internet, the phone, online gaming systems.
Mm-hmm.
And what we say to parents is that you really need to have conversations with your kids about, you know, appropriate, you know, digital citizenship, you know, good use of technology. And parents also need to really monitor their kids' use of technology. And that's an important message that education.com is getting out. And I think a lot of schools in our country are now really taking this on through technology classes and things like that.
Well, I'm hoping that they are doing that, because as far as the cyberbullying, that's a whole new ballgame. It's not like you're at school and one person's bullying you and it's only between you and him and maybe a couple of his or her friends.
It's a gang.
But
they're
when it's on cyberbullying,
yeah.
But cyberbullying, you're reaching all the kids, because all the kids, that's what they like to do, is they're on the net, you know. So,
and it could
it's
even
a whole
be
different
a fabricated
world.
Identity
absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. Jealousy, even.
There is actually a website that you don't even have to put your name on, and it's a Facebook without names.
Oh.
And so you can go on there, and, you know, so I've known a lot of kids that have, you know, been bullied that way.
It's terrible.
It is. It's definitely a problem, but I think that we need to... We can't change what's happening outside, but we can help our children. And so I urge all of our parents to talk to our children, to hopefully ask them if anybody's bullying them. And if they're the ones that are bullying, you know, be the advocate to your own kid so that you can help them stop. Because you can only imagine if that was on the other end of, you know, how it would feel.
And some of the signs must be, can you tell us some of the warning signs? Like,
well,
some,
she did.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I'd also like to suggest that maybe if a mental health professional is also a parent, that perhaps they volunteer at the school to come in and talk about it to the kids. At my son's school, once a week, they have what's called advisory, and they really take care of the kids emotionally, and they do talk about internet safety and bullying and all of these issues.
Yeah. Great. Susan, what is your website?
The website is www.education.com, and there's over 150 research-based articles on the website, as well as action items for parents and educators, and then also a free ebook that people can download. And all of these resources are free, and so we're very excited about it, and we hope that education.com becomes a go-to place for, you know, information about bullying, prevention, and intervention.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much. It really is just an added topic right now. that we need to discuss. And a lot of times parents don't want to kind of go down that road, but I really think it's shouting out as loud.
Absolutely.
And those are the things that I like to talk about here on my show. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
You got it. All right.
Bye.
Well, if anybody's just tuning in right now, don't get upset because you can actually listen again from 1 to 2. My show will repeat itself. And also, you can download it on iTunes. You can go to my website, Kim Pagano Show. It will be all of my past shows are downloaded there. And I thank you for being a part of our show. And again, if you have any questions, you can always email me at kim@kimpaganoshow.com, and I can get you in touch with any of the experts that have been on my show to get any information that you missed. Again, Jeannie, thank you for being a part of our show.
You're welcome.
And Jill, thank you so much for being a part of our show. We'll have to have you back. We only touched on a tip of it, you know. I mean, really great.
It's a
topic.
Very big subject and
definitely
a great one.
Sharon, thank you. And Matt, thank you for being on our board. And of course, I end all of my shows with a mommy moment, and today's is resolve to be a master of changes rather than a victim of change. And with that, you know, you are in full. I'm like, I just lost it there as you're yawning. You're yawning already right here, Jeannie?
No.
But you are in control of your life and your destiny. And make sure that you take that seriously, you know, for your kids, for your family, with all that. So you have been listening to The Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim. Have a really great day, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.